Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Chapter 10. Now, I'm going to share some things with you here, and I want you to be very sensitive. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, please, if you have your Bibles there, I want you to underline shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the commerce thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience for sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volumes of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast any pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering. Please, if your Bible is yours, I need you to underline verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus. How many times? Once and for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Now, if your Bible is yours, underline verse 13. Beside verse 13, put spiritual warfare. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness. Please, I want you to note the word witness. It's a witness to us. For after that he has said before, after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them. Please, if you have your Bibles, underline, I will put my laws in their heart, and then in their minds will I write it. So God puts the law in the heart, but he writes it in the mind. So just, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Verse 19, let's stop here. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, 19 and 20. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by what? By the blood of Jesus. So what gives us boldness? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say his flesh. Praise the Lord. All right, so I will do my best to lay a foundation for this week, and hopefully I can get you started. Now, the first thing I would like to share with us here is that for you to understand many of the things that are here, you must have a fair understanding of how the spirit realm works. Number one, I want you to put in your note, the spirit realm is a very legal system. That means that the spiritual realm operates by laws. There are laws that guide that realm. There are things you do there. Crying will not suffice. There are things you do there. You may get punished for it. The spiritual realm is the realm of spirits. And there are so many players in that realm, including God, the elders, archangels, angelic beings, human beings, who are also Elohims. You have fallen angels. You have demon spirits. Demon spirits are what we know as disembodied spirit. A disembodied spirit is a spirit that doesn't have a body, which means they operate more from the realm of thoughts and imaginations. So for a spirit to have a place in your life, it must first gain a hold of your mind. Please digest that. Secondly, for evil spirit or an unclean spirit or a demon to take a hold over your life, it must have legal grounds backed up by uncleanliness. Many of the spirits that Jesus cast out, they were unclean spirits, which means that if there's uncleanliness in your life, it gives demons a legal ground to be able to operate in your life. And that's why Paul taught us and admonished us that we should always search ourselves if we are still in the faith. Paul was rebuking a particular church and he said to them, are you not children when you keep malice and you are always arguing and murmuring? Look at the signs of a carnal Christian, of a spiritual baby. Paul said they are always arguing, they are always murmuring, they are always complaining. The Bible said in malice we should be children. In malice we should be what? Do you know how children keep malice? They will fight now. Under 1 minute they are already playing. But some of us, we can fight for life. Even though you're on your right, but you don't forgive. Somebody said, I forgive, but I don't forget. And he's proud to say so. I'm trying to explain how the spiritual realm works. A foundation, a basic foundation. So the spiritual realm works by laws, which means that these laws were put there by God. In the spiritual realm, there is Nigeria and there's America. One of it being heaven, the other being hell. I'm giving a scenario now, because some people will misunderstand me. And some people are always trying to relocate from hell to heaven. They will do anything. Take loan. 20 million, 40 million to jackpot with their family because they want to go to somewhere that is believed to be heaven. But they got there only to realize that heaven is still somewhere else because Oyibo man will not give you shishi if you don't work. And they don't know Nnamdi Azikiwe University. They don't know Abraka Desu. They don't know OAU. They know Nebraska University. They know Oregon State University. They know New York University, State University, Ohio, Seattle. But they don't know Adamawa State University and all those things you people peddle around. So, you know, hell is what it is. It is hell. So, hallelujah. So, the spiritual realm works in a very legal way, which means, for instance, the scripture says, if you break the edge, what happens? The serpent will bite. So, whose responsibility is it to keep the edge? I'm going somewhere. Please, are you with me so far? So, you can break the edge. Some of the ways we break the edge, can I tell you, is by allowing the wrong people in our space. Allowing the wrong people in our space. You can inherit people's battles. Oh, you are the one that wants to pray for her, Abby. Oh, you are the one telling her she can be free. Then they face you. One pastor, he wanted to do deliverance for a family. They said they have a family idol that they worship there. Very strong idol. Then I, when the pastor got there, then I gave him transport fare of 10,000 naira. The pastor now asked them, this money, is it for a soft drink? Or I say, no, that we brought you from your house to our house. He now asked them, he said, if you had gone to a herbalist or a witch doctor, would you give him 10,000? They kept quiet. He said, now, as I'm dealing with this demon here, the demon goes to my house and strikes my daughter before I get home. What happens? So what are we trying to say? It's not about what the pastor said, though. I'm just trying to tell you how the spiritual realm works. The spiritual realm works on sacrifice. Please write that down. The spiritual realm operates strictly by sacrifice. And the weight of your sacrifice can determine the flow of that battle. The reason why something is called sacrifice is because it's not comfortable. If it was fun, it wouldn't be sacrifice. The Bible said there are some that would sow, will be required to sow in tears. Eh? And they will what? They will return. Because there shall be a returning. Please understand, because the whole idea of Easter is about a man who made a sacrifice. And I want you to consider that God, the Almighty God, with all power and all knowledge, could not even say, from today, if anybody believes in me, they will be saved. Because that's not how the spiritual realm works. Do you know God could have just said, okay, from today, believe in me. And he will rubbish Satan and tell Satan to die. But in the spiritual realm, if you set certain laws in motion, you cannot just unset them. You have to do certain things to correct the error. The same way people, the same way in the digital space, there's something you call digital trade. Are you with me? That means anything you do, there's a trade for it. When I was working in the bank, any transaction you do, it will carry your ID. I don't know how they do it now. My own ID there used to be Oshafe 7995. I still remember. Oshafe, O-S-H-L, you know, your name, initial and son name, with a code. That's 7995. I'm the only one in Echo Bank that has that number to date. So you go to different branches where I've worked, you will see that code everywhere. They can track, who is this person? Is he still in the bank? Is he gone? What happened? Was he sent away? Did he commit a crime? Just with that ID. So there's something that is called digital. For those of you that are going to some websites and doing some things, and then later you clear your browsing, you say nobody know. The people in MTN know. Because you're using their network. That's what you call digital trail. I'm talking about sacrifice. So. Because there is a very thin line between people saying they are making effort, but the effort is not weighty enough. There was a brother in the Bible, his name was Abel and Cain. They decided, please, have I lost you? They decided to give to the Lord. Was it God that asked them to come? They decided. Which means Cain was a worshiper of God. Hello? Cain was not a worshiper of Satan, but Cain was irresponsible. So the spiritual realm dictates, and please, I want you to pay attention, because there are still some of you who say you are giving offering to God, and you are giving God 200 naira, while your salary is 120. In the spiritual realm, you do not give anything to a spiritual being, based on what you have. You give it based on your perception of who that person is. Let me rephrase. Your sense of value for the spirit you have brought this sacrifice to. Eh? This, how you see this person, this spirit, this God, this demon, is what will determine what you can bring. If you go to a shrine and the Baba tells you, take this, bring out money and speak to it. Eh? Are you familiar with what I'm saying? And put it in a calabash. You are familiar with what I'm saying. For those of you watching from America, you may not be familiar with this one, but you can learn. They will tell you, bring out money. The man is watching you. Bring out 10 naira. The oracle will be silent. Now, let me ask you a question. That 1,000 naira you brought, you know you have a problem and you need a solution. Eh? That 1,000 or 500 naira you brought out, is it the oracle that will spend it? Eh, is it the evil, that demon that will spend the money? Is the Baba? So the Baba is the representative of the oracle. Anything the Baba eats is the oracle that has eaten it. Are we together so far? I want to leave because we are going to talk about Jesus. But I want to break it down so that some of you will realize why you are very prayerful, but you have no power. So God said to these guys, these two boys came and said, oh, we want to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. To say you are bringing an offering to the Lord means that you have come to honor him. You have come to worship him. And you know exactly who he is. You cannot worship what you don't know. That's what the Bible says. Huh? Say that's what they said to Jesus. Say we worship what we know. We are not children of the bond servant. We worship what we know. And Jesus was saying, if you truly say you know who God is, you would have known me. So God rejected the sacrifice of brother Cain. And he accepted the sacrifice of Abel. And then brother Cain became very angry. And in case you think that Cain is a very bad person, there are many Cains on this earth who are wearing tie. Very angry Cains. People that there's not, no, God can say anything, but God cannot take, cannot touch their money. There are many Cains who believe it is what they want, they will give to God. So Cain was rejected because he brought what he wanted. But Abel brought what God wanted. Cain brought a sacrifice in blood. Speaking of redemption. You know, as a prophet, there are some things that I experience. I really don't understand why it's like that. But it makes me a bit cautious. One of my spiritual sons who lives in the U.S. that I spoke about last 2 weeks, that lost his job and for a whole year could not get a job. And he called me. And while he was talking to me, because what I do is that when people talk to me, I try not to listen too much to them. I open the ear inside so that I can hear what, peradventure, if the Lord has something to say. But when he was talking to me on the phone, luckily for me, I was able to open that ear. And the Lord said, ask him, the last job I gave you, did you pay? I will give your tithe. So I said, sorry, my brother. The Lord said, I should ask you, that last job, the one you had last, after prayer, after we prayed for you, did you give your tithe? Did you honor the Lord with your tithe? Or did you consider your tithe too much for him? He said, Pastor, I have to be honest, I did not give my tithe. I said, okay, the days of ignorance the Lord has overlooked. So you are forgiven. Go back to God and repent. I will not pray for you now. I'll pray for you, but it will be a prayer of mercy. I said, but I want you to have a repentant heart. I say if the Lord is raising this matter, it's because he wants to help you. There are people that come before the Lord, and the Lord will not say anything. And if the Lord did not say anything, there's nothing I can say. I cannot force God to talk. Because my own network is 2G, his own is 10G. So the way we are receiving the information is different. And the brother called me in less than a month. He got another job. Confirming the word. See, let me tell you. If God the Father could not by his veto say people should become Christians and there's no need for Jesus to die, there is a law the Father obeyed in the realm of the Spirit, and that law is the law of sacrifice. This is the reason why many Christians are weak, and this is the reason why many occultic people in your offices are strong. The Bible talks about the sacrifice of praises. Even that one many cannot give. Because many do not even think that he deserves it. They are not saying it to their mouth, but their actions say it. Now, in this scripture that we were reading, that we just read, you will find that, and if you can trace it, you can put it on the screen. The Bible said, year after year, they would have to offer animals, but that the sacrifice was only valid for 1 year. Did you see it? He said the sacrifice, in that Hebrews chapter 10, look. The Bible said the sacrifice could only cover their sins for 1 year. So after 1 year, they have to come back again. Go to verse 3. He said, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every what? Every year. Now, the Bible says in verse 4 that it was not possible for the blood of sins gap. Eh? But there's a principle there I want you to see. Please, are you with me? There's a principle in verse 3 and 4 that I want you to see. And please pay attention. Because I realize that the people that miss these things are the spiritual people. Meanwhile, when I talk to some of the pastors, big pastors who don't talk about these things, eh? They practice it. When I'm alone with them, I say, Daddy, I say, no, I do it. But I cannot, I can't even challenge that, Daddy, why are you not telling your people? I cannot say it because I'm a small boy. But they are telling me they do this. Many of them don't talk about it because they don't want to be misunderstood. So today I stand the risk of being misunderstood. But because of what Jesus did, I have to tell you, because I want you all to be blessed. Yes. There are people you cannot fight because of the weight of sacrifice they have put on the floor, on the altar. You cannot fight them. You cannot. We all have the name of Jesus, but are we equally anointed? Think about it now. Are you with me? I want you to be flowing with me. Somebody that gives himself to prayers for hours cannot be at the same level with somebody that prays for 5 minutes. It's not possible. Someone that prays at night cannot be somebody who is a student of the word of God for hours. Do you think it's easy to read the Bible for hours without getting distracted in this day and time? Have you seen monks, Buddhist monks, how they read? Huh? Who has an idea? Who has seen? They will squat, cross their legs, have a big text in front of them, and they'll do like this. They've read an entire chapter. For 3 days, they could be in that spot meditating on that thing. Then they rise up from it and they say they have become enlightened. That's why, as lovely as the iPad and tablet and all this, I recommend you should still have a hard copy. If you really, some people will go and shout on Insta blog and that one pastor say people should be buying Bible. No problem. I said, if you want to really have some time alone, have your own Bible that you can read, mark, write beside it, jot. Your own Bible that if you flip, you can find anything. It's very important. There are people that I know in this church. I know why God is blessing them. And I will not mention anybody's name. God is blessing them because of the labor of their father. This particular family I'm talking about, their father, very elderly man of God, came to visit me at home. And I was very uncomfortable. I don't like elderly men coming to visit me. I'm not comfortable. I don't like it. Don't come again. Just tell me, come. And which one is you leave your house? You announce, you say, my son, I'm outside. Eh? You're outside. Eh? Voila. How do you receive a man of God? Even me, I'm confused. I don't know how to receive a man of God. What do I cook for you? What do I do? And after talking for like 30 minutes, the man said, I want you to pray. After that, I will pray. An elderly man said, you should pray for him. Eh? I had to kneel down to say that prayer. I don't know if that makes sense. It doesn't make sense or no. Like, I wanted to pray for an elderly man. I was the one that knelt down. I said, Father, I thank you for your son. My daddy, I want to thank you. Daddy, I want to thank you for my daddy. When I finished, he now stood up. This is a man that has seen the glories and experienced the power of Apostle Babalola. He now said, he now prayed in Yoruba. I'm still going to visit him very soon, but I want to have money first. That kind of visit must have at least 6 figures. That kind of honorarium must be minimum of 6 figures. Those people don't have time for stories or grammar. But you see, when they talk to you, your destiny will respond. You see that prayer you have been praying? They will only say a word, and your destiny will respond. That's why when I tell you people that I listen to old men, I know what I'm saying. Those people have authority. So why did Abel and Cain feel they wanted to approach God and they could not come empty-handed? They had to come with something. David had made a very costly mistake and he was trying to correct the mistake and he wanted to raise an altar to the Lord. And somebody who was willing to help him said, man of God, the king, take this land. David said, no, I have to pay for it. Say, I will not offer to God anything. You cannot sow a gift. I don't know how to say it very well. Something that you don't even know the value. Maybe I didn't say it well. What I'm trying to say is this. You have something. That thing, you got it on a platter of gold. If that thing is not in your life, you won't miss it. It doesn't mean anything to you. It doesn't, for you, it doesn't mean anything. For you, it may mean something to anybody, but for you, it doesn't mean anything to you. It's just, it may be in your house for 3 months and you are not even aware. I heard a man of God said, in my house, I have 18 iPads and computers and tablets. He said, when people come to my house, I dash them. Because people sold them. So he uses Bible. He doesn't use iPad. So he gives it as a gift to people that visit him. So for him, that thing may not really mean so much to you. But if you take his hard copy Bible, it can be a problem. David refused. He could have exercised his authority as king. But he told the man, I need to educate you. We are trying to raise an altar to the Lord to stop the hands of death. It cannot be on a platter of free things. There are many of us, our parents went to shrines and they entered covenants for 300 years. 300 years ago, everybody is dead. Now, nobody remembers that story. And you have seen bloodlines. People having similar kind of diseases and ailments and blood patterns and situations. People are dying. People are not doing well. People are struggling. And it's not that they didn't go to school. Somebody somewhere has eaten the sour fruit. The children are pained. I'm just trying to tell you the power of sacrifice. Because even for Satan, he will not do anything for you free. And you will pay more than what you, the interest. Now, what I wanted to show you in verse 3 is that even though, please give me verse 3. Even though the sacrifice that was offered every year was not God's ideal, but they did it for years. Do you know up till now, Jewish people still believe this thing? They believe this thing. They believe that every year you should come before God and offer something valid for a year. Listen to me. This is the principle I want to bring out from here. There are sacrifices God will require you to make at certain points in your life consistently. Those sacrifices will become the foundation that your generational wealth the wealth that will move from you to your children will be founded on. Pastor Adebo made a statement once. He was just preaching and he said, are you here this morning? Yeah. Pastor Adebo said there's a certain time of the night when he walks around the camp and he prays for a certain number of hours. And that, I think, goes about his dogs. He has dogs. And that nobody should, if you see him, don't approach him. Don't talk to him. Hey, don't say, hey, daddy, thank God. Don't. And one other day he joked and said, some of you are not aware, I used to be a professional boxer. He used to enjoy boxing as a sport. So that he has not lost that firepower yet. So don't, if you see me praying, don't come and hug me or do anything, because some of you are very zealous. Now, Baba at this particular stage was about 50, 60, 70. His Baba is over 80. Can you imagine how tired those bones are? Baba at his age knows that if he tries to pray in his room, he will sleep. You, with your rhema and revelation, believe you can pray on your bed with your iPhone beside you. God looks at the sacrifice the man has made consistently over time. And even though he may not be perfect, he is covered. Because he has advanced the gospel with his weakness more than most of us who say we are righteous. The law of sacrifice is a very important law in the spirit. No spirit will respect you if your hands are empty. No spirit. Even Jesus appeared with the sacrifice, the blood, when he died. He appeared with it. Every drop of blood was collected. Jesus was drained of his blood. He didn't have any blood left. That's why when he rose from the grave and he saw Thomas, go and read that scripture. Go and Google it. This time I'm saying you can Google it now. He appeared to Thomas. He said, come and touch my hands. He said, for a spirit does not have flesh and bone. Please Google it. Give me that scripture. Just type a spirit does not have flesh and bone. KJV. It will pop up the scripture. I want to show you. Jesus didn't say flesh and blood. He said flesh and bone. That's very strategic. He had no blood again. When Jesus rose from the dead, he only had flesh and bone. Luke 24:39. Quickly. Are you hearing this for the first time? Who is hearing this for the first time? Jesus had flesh and bone, no blood in his body. That he was entering through doors and windows and disappearing. There's no blood in his body. Oh yeah. Luke 24:39. Quickly, please. This is just a diversion. You see the sacrifice. I have a friend. He says since he graduated from university, he has not gone back to collect his certificate. And he has been doing the work of the Lord for over 15 years as a pastor. If you have it, please. Or should I read it from my Bible? I should read it. What? Please read it for me. Look at my hands and feet. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bone. Usually when you say flesh, what do you say next? Flesh and what? Jesus said flesh and bone. That is to tell you that every blood in his system was drained. Because that is what will be used for our own redemption. When Jesus said we are his brothers, he wasn't joking. Oh. When Jesus said, it was not a state, what do you call those kind of statements that they are not real, but just, he wasn't making a, not fallacy. No hypothesis. You are trying to say somebody is your family, but it's not like you are blood related, but it's my brother, but not blood. But when Jesus said, we are his brothers, he said, I go back to my father and your father. When Jesus made that statement, it wasn't a statement of we. No, he meant it. We are blood relations of Jesus. You need to understand what we are saying here. We are blood relations. If they check your spiritual DNA, it's the same thing. And here you are thinking that you are lower than angels. Only angel, only Michael, come and defend me. Those are your servants. What Jesus died for, to give you, is serious. But look at the sacrifice he paid. He was tempted to the last minute. They wanted him to be angry on that cross. They wanted him to be offended. He asked for, he said he was thirsty. They stabbed him by the side. Take water. You want water? Take this one. But manage this one. The Bible says, what came out of? Say, water and blood. And I will show you something in the scriptures that maybe you have heard before. Maybe you have not. I will tell you why certain things happen on earth and Christians cannot do anything about it. Just get ready, 1 John 5. I don't know, maybe 8 or 9. Just get it ready. Can you? Will you be able to show that one? Huh? But just get ready. Or don't show it yet. So this earth is a very spiritual place. If you close your eyes to it and you don't understand the rules of engagement, you will bind and bind and bind and you will not see result. Anything that you relinquish for the sake of the gospel will be counted. So the question is, so far so good. What has the gospel cost you? So far so good. What can you point to and say, oh, because I became a Christian, I lost this thing? Or your own is only addition and blessing? For instance, when I decided to relocate abroad to Australia, and though God is still encouraging me, even though I don't even have interest again. When I was supposed to move to Australia, and it didn't happen again. Because it was for the sake of the gospel. It was not because I didn't want to go. I still dream of Sydney. I have to be honest with you. When I close my eyes, I see myself amongst white men. That this is how I will be offering this thing to the Lord. Every 6 months. Nobody will tell you this. I'm telling you, people will just tell you, have faith, have faith, have faith. I'm telling you what makes faith work. If, for instance, you are age 33, you've been trusting God for a job, and God finally did it, and you got a job, I want you to go and think. How did you get that job? What did you do? What did you do? Somebody called me and said, oh, he went to one false prophet. The false prophet was now talking to him about me. Eh? No, we hear things. Say the false prophet was talking to him about me. Say, you have a pastor. He's a prophet. He's a good man. I said, don't say anything again. Don't say anything. I don't confer with demons. I don't need your testimony. If I, you that went there and they told you that you are, I say you, I need to pray for you because you are exposed. You've become exposed. So I prayed for him. Your ears must be sanctified not to hear some things again. Oh, Jesus. Oh, you are the Son of God. You are sent here to deliver us. Shh, come out. Come out. In the name of power. Holy Ghost. Come out. Ejade. Not all the rubbish we see now, people just put on WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram trying to showcase rubbish. All these things that I see online, even demons can do them. I'm not seeing Jesus here. I'm seeing showmanship. I'm seeing self, flesh. I'm seeing somebody who needs to blow. Daniel 11:32 says, it is those who know their God that shall be strong and do exploit. Now, The principle in what I just shared with you is that there will be certain things that the Lord will require you. There's a scripture I wanted to read somewhere in Hebrews, but I hope. Okay, let's look at Hebrews 8, verse 3. Very quickly. Gift and sacrifices that you bring before Him. You. That's the strength of priesthood, sacrifice. What makes one priesthood, one altar, stronger than the other is the kind of things they bring there. Please, are you with me? Say, yeah, it's Old Testament. This is Hebrew, so. When you bring these things before the Lord, it's between you and God. Nobody will know. But you will see the strength with which God will be defending your name. People will be like, is it not the same God we are serving? It's the same God, but we are serving Him differently. Give me that scripture. He said, wherefore it's of necessity that this man also, speaking of Jesus, should also have something to offer. So we are talking about we are talking about sacrifices. We are talking about the consistency of the gift. The Bible says that this, even though this yearly thing they were doing was just for his time, but they continue to do it. A lot of people start, but they don't continue to do it. The Bible says in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10:10, the scripture says, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. I hope you know that when Jesus died, He understood that He was a sacrificial lamb to satisfy the demands of justice, divine justice. God was angry at the rebellion of man, and God needed to right it by a sacrifice. I hope you know that when Adam sinned, God was the first person to shed blood. When He killed an animal to cover them, I hope you know that before God came to that garden, they had already covered themselves with leaves. God said, this one will not do it. God Himself was the first person to shed blood. Because without the shedding of blood, and that is not just a principle of heaven, it's a principle in the realm of darkness, that you need blood. That is the currency of the spiritual realm. That is the currency of the supernatural. And blood, if you want to wave anything, bring blood. If something is going against you, bring blood. There was a king in the Bible that Israel fought against. The people had received a prophetic word from God's servant that they will win that battle. Initially, they were not even supposed to win that battle. But God's servant had mercy on them. And God told him, tell them to dig trenches, do this. They received prophetic instructions. Have you ever received any instruction and it seemed that you still lost that battle? It has happened in the Bible before. Does it make the prophet a false prophet? No. Pay attention. Huh? Don't they follow me? It was God that told his prophet, tell them to do 1, 2, 3, 4. And they did it and they were winning. But it is those who know their God. The man knew that the battle was against him. He knew. He took his crown prince, offered him on the altar, and God turned against Israel. The sacrifice of an unbeliever got God's attention. If you, an unbeliever, can go this far and my people choose to remain rebellious, let them die. God turned back. He was angry. And they lost a battle that they had already won. That was a last minute joker. Just like bringing Ronaldo in at 90th minute. And he must come. Or you bring in those days of Kanu will just come and fall down and you're 18. And that's the end of it. He has a way he moves. He must fall. And once he falls, he's pen. Because the way he will fall, even people will be afraid. They have to give him penalty. He falls like he wants to break. His body will break, so they have to, no. This is wicked. Take red card, then play penalty. So everybody avoids him. He may not play, but he will be passing. But once he enters your team, be careful. Because that's a potential penalty you are looking at. Let me show you something in the scripture. Open 1 John 5:8. I want to show you something. This one, pay attention. I may come back to, but I want to show you something. Go to 7:7-8. Now, look at your screen. For there are three. How many? There are three that bear record where? Who are they? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? This is the concept of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Some people are still arguing whether Trinity is real. That's it. Forget about the name. Call it whatever you like. But the three are one. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. The heavens have made provision for witnesses that validate. These are the witnesses that can override any witnesses in the realm of the spirit. And the Bible says there are three of them. Father, Son, or the Word, and the Holy Ghost. I hope you know that the Word is his original state. The true state of Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. So the scripture tells us, and I want you to pay attention, that when we use the word witnesses, we are using a very legal term. And most likely, we are in a court session. Because witnesses execute their mandate in the court. Are we together? So there is a court that sits in heaven, and there are three witnesses that can override anything. One, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. I will come back and address how that thing works. But in verse 8, there are also three that bear witness in the earth. That means these three, they are on earth now. Please pay attention. These three are on earth now as we speak. And their ministry is being executed as we speak. And I want you to pay attention very closely. Who is the first person there? Who is the CEO of the church? The second. Now, while we are here, I will read Hebrews 10:15. Just write it down. Hebrews 10:15. What does it say? It says, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Hebrews 10:15. Wherefore, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a what? Is a witness to us, for after he had said before. So the witness, there's a witness of the Holy Ghost. That's it you have there. Please go back to First John. All right. Give me that scripture. So we have three witnesses. So these are three beings, spiritual beings. These are three entities that have authority to provide witness, either for your justification or for your condemnation. This is why many people are unable to deal with patterns, because they don't understand these witnesses. That's why you think that by shouting and shouting, there's a place for prayer and fasting. But you see, there's also a place for understanding. Any deliverance you are getting must already be rooted in the finished work of Christ. But if you don't know, you will be trying by works, thinking that you can convince God by your much fasting. There's a place for fasting, but you need to understand the way it works. Your fasting is not going to give you your deliverance. Your fasting is only to say this, you are standing on what God has already done. That's it. Okay, we'll come back. Give me that scripture. So there are three witnesses that are in heaven, and there are also witnesses that must be provided on earth, which means for any decision to be made concerning a life, there must be three witnesses in heaven, and there must be three witnesses on earth. If this witness is not complete, you may be praying, but you will not have full result. Look at that scripture. He said there are three witnesses that bear witness in earth. First of all is the spirit. Second is the water. And the third is the blood. And these three also agree in one. So there's another trinity that is on earth that models what we have in heaven. So I was looking for these other two people here. The water and the blood. And I found it in John 19:34. Please give me John 19:34. So there's a way to pray with this thing, you know. Are you blessed this morning? Go to verse 33 and 34. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side and forthwith came out what? There are three that bear witness on earth. What are they? Are we together? Now, do you think it's a coincidence that that particular verse was captured exactly that way? As he was dying. There's something there. When you go and ask God tomorrow or whenever you pray, that God, the situation of my family must change. Go with the witnesses. I just said something to you. Eh? Some of you are trying to get your deliverance or by yourself. I say go with witnesses. For the judge to rule in your favor, there must be three witnesses. Number one witness by the Spirit is that you must receive a revelation knowledge by the Holy Spirit imparted to your spirit that this is what will happen. Just like my sister was sharing her testimony about that girl's healing. God spoke to her that this is what he was going to do. That is the function of the spirit. That's the first equation that must be met. If that is not enough, then you must provide the water and the blood. And these two elements have directly to do with the death of Jesus. So this is how to pray with this kind of scenario. You go to God. Are you with me now? These are dangerous prayers. So you go to God. This is not the kind of prayer you pray. This kind of prayer, when you want to pray it, your phone cannot be on because the devil will make it ring. They will call you from the office. You go to God and you say, when you died, I was there. I died with you. When you were stabbed inside, as your blood was shed, also I died there. My error, the sin of my fathers, have been paid for. Because in that day when you died, I was there. You saw me. You chose me. Therefore, let the three witnesses, oh God. You see, these are speakings in the heavens. When things start happening, you will not hear anything again. You will just see death cancellation. The Bible said he canceled out the ordinance. The word ordinance means law. He canceled the spiritual law that was written against us. How? Because they were the functionaries of witnesses. One witness, who was there? Yes, I was there when Jesus died. The blood, the water, they will say we were the ones that flowed. When that soldier stabbed by the side, we are a witness that when Jesus died, he also died. And when Jesus rose, he also rose. When you are negotiating for reversal of family patterns and for things that it seems prayer and fasting cannot reverse, bring the witnesses. Get your scriptures. Say, bring forth your strong reasons. Say, Lord, you know that my life will be useful for you. Baba, if you bring me out of this problem, you know me, you know my heart, you know the way my heart beats for you. Lord, you know what my life can account for the gospel, for you. I will run as far as you tell me to run. Say, let the witnesses speak. Who can confirm? Yes. I told him in the year 1994 that he will serve me, he will do this. When he was on his sickbed in the hospital, I told him he will not die, that the covenant of death has been, but we have the witness. Now, is this man by covenant of water and blood related to us? Yes. Then those entities will begin to operate. And you will find yourself operating at a I don't know if this thing is even making sense. Are you here? I have struggled to say this thing that because I don't want to sound esoteric. But this thing is actually the way it is. This is how to take your stand and say my family will be free. Don't put yourself in the equation. Put the spirit, the water, and the blood. The water and the blood there represents the pain and the sacrifice of Jesus. The pain and the sacrifice. Even after he died, they kept stabbing him. Kept stabbing him. And for every stab, God said, you are free. God said, you are free. For every stab. But if you try to engage your freedom and just say, oh, by stripes I'm healed, your position is right, but it's weak. You don't have your witnesses. You don't have your strong reasons. Why should we bring you out? Others have come like you and they failed us. Bring forth your strong reasons. That's what he said in Isaiah. Bring forth your strong reasons. Where are the weaknesses? Where are the people that can vouch for you? We are in a court session. Bring out your witnesses. This is how to reverse almost anything. Bring forth your strong reasons. Bring forth the witnesses. You will negotiate like Jacob negotiated and his name was changed to Israel. You will negotiate. I hope you know that when Jesus was on that cross, he wasn't smiling, he was in pain. He was in pain. Every blade and every stab, he felt it. And he felt it in at least three ways. Spirit, soul, and body. Because he was not just paying for your spiritual, he was paying for your emotional health. He was paying for your physical healing. And the scripture tells us in the book of Isaiah, when I see the travail of his soul, I will be satisfied. That's what God said about his son. He said, when I see the way his soul, how the kind of pain and turmoil is in, God will say, yes, the bill is being paid. The debt is being paid. You will not die again. Because of what my son has done, you will not die. That is the joy of God the Father looking at his son in pain and just hanging in there. Hanging in there. You know, Jesus said it is finished, but he did not. Do you know he could have been tempted to say it is finished before the problem, the temptation even started? Before the trial, when they first gave the first step, he just said, let me quickly die. It is finished. It must have taken a lot. His faith was tested. They insulted him. They said, if you are a son of God, come down. Okay, we even want to believe. Me now, I'm the Pharisee in charge of Maryland. I'm ready to, I have heard so many things about you. I want to forget about the past. I want to believe. Come down. There are people asking you to put your God to test. If truly you are the only one going to church in this family, you are the only one carrying Bible on your head. If that's what they're asking, if you are a man of God, turn these stones to bread. Bring forth the witnesses. Say there are three that bear witness on the earth. These ones, the activity are here. The activities are here. These are spirit entities. These are witnesses that have what it takes to change your life. One of it is the Holy Ghost. The two is what is contained in the death of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus rose up, those two witnesses were missing. They were no more with him. He only had flesh and bone. He didn't have water and blood again. That's profound. That God just kept that secret in the Bible with one line. That when Jesus rose up, he didn't have blood again. Just flesh and bone. And now we are being told that the water and the blood are witnesses on earth because of us. So every time Satan tries to tell you that you are not qualified, tell him I have my witnesses. My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Are you not impressed that the activity of the blood of Jesus is not in heaven, it's on earth? This is where the work is. Oh, Are you here now? That the blood of Jesus is here with us 24/7, cleansing us, perfecting us, purifying us, putting us, making, arranging our lives to be in the will of God. This thing has nothing to do with whether you went to school or not. I don't know if I still need to explain this thing, though, but I feel I may still need to put in a word. But as you go into this resurrection week, I want you to go in, whatever the trouble is, go and bring your strong reasons. God is the one that says, bring your reason. Let me know why you are even saying you want me to do this thing in your life. Let me know. Because you just talk, but you don't know, you don't even know why. You don't even have a serious reason that makes sense to spirits. Except that you are hungry. I don't know if somebody understands what we are saying. We need to pray. We need to pray. Two siblings may be in the same house, and yet they are having completely different experiences with God. What I have presented to you today is the altar of God on the earth. The spirit. The water. And the blood. I want you to pray for yourself in 1 minute. Pray for yourself in 1 minute. I don't know what you've heard, but I want you to quickly negotiate. I want you to quickly negotiate. I want you to quickly negotiate. I want you to place a demand